Take your Bibles this morning, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, this message is a spinoff from Wednesday night. Those that were here on Wednesday night will recognize some of the verses that we go through, but there's been a lot more added to it. So Galatians chapter 5. Wednesday night we were talking about fruitful living. This morning we're talking about bearing much fruit. Bearing much fruit as God's people. So Galatians chapter 5, I want to read verse 16 through 23, and then there's a lot more verses that we'll get into later. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you, in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Father, we do thank you again this morning for allowing us to be gathered together. I do pray that you would help us, Lord, to hear your voice speak to us this morning. Lord, give us ears to hear that soft, still voice speaking to us, saying, this is the way you walk in it. Help us to be obedient to your leading in our life. We, Father, ask that you help us to be doers of the word and not hearers, helping us to be conformed more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, helping us to truly have a fruitful life, an abundant life that Jesus said he came to give. And Father, he has promised to every believer. And Lord, we take that promise. We want our life to count for Christ. We want you to be glorified. We want the Holy Spirit to have freedom among us, to teach us the things that we need to learn, to bring to our mind things that we need to remember. Father, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as you, most of us probably are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and this fruit is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can produce this fruit in a believer's life. People do know how to love one another, but people can love in a very selfish way, in a very fleshly way, in a very worldly way. Somebody once said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. The Holy Spirit of God helps us as believers, as God's people, to really be Christ-like in all areas of our life. But this morning, I do want to talk to us about bearing much fruit. What fruit are you bearing in your life, and how much is it? Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? Is it fruit that manifests itself and shows itself that we are healthy or we are unhealthy as Christians, as born-again believers, as God's people? Several things I want to talk to us about this morning. The first one is that the fruit will always manifest the identity. The fruit will always manifest the identity. I want you to think about a fruit tree. You know what an apple tree is by the apples that are hanging on that tree. But before the apples are hanging on that tree, someone who doesn't know that it's an apple tree may drive by and wonder, you know, what type of tree is that? What type of fruit is going to bear out? And eventually it will show the fruit and you'll know it's an apple tree. It's the same in the Christian life. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, because it does matter this morning what type of fruit we're bearing out in our marriages, in our family, among our loved ones, among God's people, as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Is the fruit that we're bearing out, is it glorifying God? Is it showing our identity in Christ, or is it showing the identity of the world? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, Jesus warns us, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Stop right there, because many times people will say, you cannot judge me, you can't judge people, but the Lord says you will know them by their fruit. It's not being judgmental, it's just being observant, taking observation in somebody's life that, hey, you know what? This is going on in this life. This fruit in their life shows what matters to them. It shows who they're following, who they're listening to, what is central to them in their life. And the Lord says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, he says this right after he says, beware of false prophets, all right? Because not everybody that dresses like a Christian, not everybody that may have a Bible, not everybody that may come to a church is truly a sheep, is truly a child of God, but a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you'll know them because eventually the true identity bears out. The true identity bears out. He goes on to say, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now the Lord is warning his disciples and those that are listening. He's warning them of false prophets. He's warning them of people who have an outward show of being Christ-like or even having your best interest in mind, but yet inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're looking for an opportunity to deceive you. They're looking for an opportunity to take advantage of you, to destroy you, to lead you astray. And as I've said before, don't just believe everything that has the name of Christ on it or has the label of Christian. The Bible does tell us that we need to try the spirits, because not everything that is produced and written in this world under the label of Christian or under the name of Christ is of God. And we've got to be careful that we just don't receive everything in our life that claims to be of God. Let the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and discernment so that you're not evilly influenced, so you're not led astray, but that you will remain close to the shepherd. You'll remain on the right path, being led and fed and protected by the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he speaks about fruit, because fruit tells you what type of tree it is, and fruit in a person's life will tell you what type of person they are, whether you want to let them in your life and influence your life for good or bad. Jesus also said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now he's talking about you and me. He's talking about his people, his followers. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If you have love one to another, and that word love speaks of forgiveness, grace, patience, unity. He addresses his people, he addresses his disciples, he addresses the body of Christ. If you have love one to another, that fruit in your life and my life will tell others what type of Christian we are, what type of person we are, who are we following, because the love of Christ teaches us and we see in Jesus forgiveness and grace and patience and unity. So fruit always manifests our identity. Your true identity bears out in the fruit in your life. What fruit are you bearing? It will manifest who we're following, what we're listening to, what is in control of our life. The second thing I want you to think about, go to John chapter 15, because fruit will manifest our identity, and the fruit, the measure of the fruit in our life, the increase or decrease of fruit in our life, will tell if we're healthy or unhealthy as God's people, as believers, as Christians, as disciples of Christ. The fruit that we are bearing or not bearing will tell whether or not we're healthy or unhealthy. And God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be healthy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. How can we have that abundance of life that Jesus promised if we're not growing, if we're not producing fruit, if fruit is not being produced in our life for our health and for God's glory? In John 15, these are the words of Jesus in verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's two things that Jesus does. He's either going to purge someone that has some deadness in their life. They're lacking fruit and he wants fruit to grow. So he, you know, purges, he cuts things off. You know, he reveals things in our life that he wants us to, you know, stop watching, stop listening to, stop following, stop, you know, allowing it to be in your life because it's causing you to be unhealthy. But then a healthy Christian who's growing, he still wants to purge because he wants that Christian, that believer, that disciple to bear even more fruit. And the fruit that we bear is for our good. It's for our good and it is for the benefit of others as well. Jesus goes on in verse 4 to say, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Right there, Jesus says we can't even bear the fruit that we're supposed to without him. Because it's not about what the Baptists say. It's not about how you dress. It's about what Jesus says, and it's about following Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit in our life that bears out our life, that brings honor and glory to God because the life has been changed by the power of Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It benefits us, but again, it also benefits others around us. Because the fruit that bears out in our life is either going to be healthy or unhealthy. And it will affect those around us, whether it's healthy or unhealthy fruit. So again, Jesus says, I'm the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. So we've got to abide in Christ and let him abide in us. Let him, through the Holy Spirit, cultivate our hearts, cultivate our lives, producing the spirit of the fruit in our life and manifesting in our life so that our relationships will be blessed. So our life will be blessed, so God will be glorified. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is kind of an introduction, then we'll get to the main meat of the message. But it is all about bearing fruit, bearing much fruit. And again, it's not about legalism. It's not about, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, it's about being more like Christ, allowing the grace of Christ to show out in our life, allowing the grace to be in our relationships, whether it's our marriage, whether it's relationships with our children, whether it's relationships with extended family, relationships with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. It's all about magnifying Christ, allowing Christ to be lifted up in our life so he's glorified, we're helped, and we have the testimony that, you know, yeah, we're not perfect, but we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. We want to be more like Christ. We want to have that blessed, abundant life, and I really want every area of my life to be blessed, whether it's my marriage, whether it's my relationship with my kids or other Christians. I want to be that testimony that really bears out that, yes, Jesus Christ is the true living God that I can follow, all right? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 32. All right, so fruit measures our increase, our lack of increase, whether we're healthy or unhealthy. And Paul says, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says in verse 22 of Ephesians 4, that you put off. So there are things in our life that we have to put off that may still want to be a part of our life, still wants to manifest itself in our life. We have to put them off. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Conversation speaks of your lifestyle. Not just your speech, but your life, your lifestyle. All right? The old man is who you were and who I was before Christ came into our life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Stop right there. Our thinking always has to change. We will consistently, if we're not careful, fall into our old ways of thinking. But new creatures in Christ, we have to purpose to renew our mind through the Word of God, through obedience to God, through surrender and submission to God. Renew your mind on a daily basis so that you will have right thinking. Right thinking towards people, right thinking in situations, right thinking when you have to make a decision, because you're allowing yourself to have the mind of Christ. Did Jesus ever make a wrong decision? The answer is no. And he's giving us of his spirit to help us not to make wrong decisions. Not to be the old person we used to be. Maybe in your old life, you were someone that was always looking for a fight. You were always looking for an argument. You loved to argue, and you were always just wanting to pick those arguments, you know, get under somebody's skin. It was just something. I mean, I've known people like that. They found sport in that. They found joy in picking fights and just, you know, getting somebody all wound up and just, you know, and get them to, if I can say, lose their testimony. So we can't be like the old person we used to be, and you know who that is for you. I know who it is for me, all right? So we have to renew the spirit of our mind. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away, and here's the things that we're supposed to put away, lying. Lying is not supposed to be a part of our life anymore because we have the Spirit of God in us, who is the Spirit of truth. No black lie, no white lie. No big lie, no little lie. However people, you know, try to define the lie they're saying, a lie is a lie and it's an abomination to God, and we're supposed to put that away. We're supposed to speak truth in love, okay? Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. And again, he's addressing a church. All right, he's addressing a church at Ephesus. And really, in the body of Christ, it should be truth, right? We know people in our life and people outside these four walls that will lie to us because, you know, they're not a child of God. Hopefully, they're not a Christian lying. But we know lost people will lie, all right? That shouldn't still be a part of our life, and it shouldn't be in the body of Christ either. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I don't know about you, but I mean, we can say things that are nasty to loved ones. We can say things that are hurtful. And we, again, this is where the renewing of our mind comes in, because we can always justify in our mind why I deserve to say that and why they just need to listen and take it. But that's not of God. That's not Christ-like, right? I mean, there's many times that I have to bite my tongue, and there's other times I should bite my tongue. But I allow my mouth to speak, and it gets me into trouble. All right? So again, it's all of us wanting to bear more fruit, wanting to have more grace in our actions and reactions to people so that Christ is glorified, so we will be more like Christ and we won't even stir up the hornet's nest or cause more problems than what there already is there. All right? So he says in verse 29 again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Everything he just listed and will list in the next two verses quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit in our life. Grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit in our life. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know who it is, and you don't know what they've done, you don't know what they've said. I probably don't. But let's think about Jesus Christ. When we read through the scriptures, did anybody say anything derogatory or critical or hateful to Jesus? Did anybody physically abuse Jesus? Did anybody who pretended to be Jesus' friend stab him in the back? Sell him for 30 pieces of silver? And Jesus would still say, friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? We can't do it in the flesh. There's no way that we can be Christ-like without the Holy Spirit in us, without the Holy Spirit producing his fruit in us and helping us to be Christ-like and to enjoy the abundance of life that Jesus promised. No marriage is going to be blessed without Jesus Christ being in that marriage. One individual in that marriage can be blessed if they will choose to do what's right, if they will choose to let God deal with the other person. You do what you're supposed to and let God deal with the other person. But that's not how we humanly think. I will do unto them as they have done unto me. That's the way we think. But Jesus tells us what? Do unto them as you would have them do unto you. How you want to be treated, treat them. Because he says when we do good to them, it is like heaping coals of fire upon their head. The Lord Jesus will convict their hearts, make them feel ashamed, make them feel guilty for the way they're acting because they cannot seem to draw you into that argument. They cannot seem to draw you in to the fight. They cannot seem to ruffle your feathers like they used to. And again, it's hard to do it in the flesh, but when we yield to the Holy Spirit, he gives us the grace and the ability to resist that old temptation of wanting to be the, you know, be the person that gets the last word in and be the person that is dominant, right? Again, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, it bears out in our lives, whether it's good or bad, healthy or not, and Christ wants the body of Christ to be healthy. He wants the body of Christ to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy and me to be healthy in our life. Again, we're not the old person. We shouldn't let the old man rear his ugly head up in our life, but we should allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in our life through the fruit of the Spirit and through our yielding to God's way. I want you to think about this, all right? So fruit always manifests our identity. The fruit in your life, who is it that the fruit in your life is manifesting you to be? And only you can answer that. Are you bearing as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, are you bearing healthy fruit or unhealthy fruit? What's being manifested in your life and my life? Is it the fruit of the flesh that we just saw in Ephesians? Or is it the fruit of the Spirit? Now, I'll admit, we'll have our times where we kind of fall off the wagon. Don't jump off the wagon. But there's times when we fall off the wagon where we don't guard ourselves. We don't keep a hedge about ourselves. We don't watch what we say. We just kind of, in the moment, we say or do something and we regret it. I get that. We're not perfect. But we should have a desire to want to bear more fruit that represents we are the disciples of Christ, that we are the children of God. And the Holy Spirit can only produce and multiply this fruit that's listed in Galatians 5. He's the only one that can do it, and we have to be surrendered and submitted to him. Look, if you would, if you've already turned away, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Because good fruit can only multiply by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit in a yielded believer's life. All right? Galatians 5 and verse 25. Oops, get there. Galatians 5, 25 tells us if we live in the Spirit, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we walk in the Spirit, that means we can't walk in the flesh. I can't do what I really want to do. I can't say what I really want to say. That's why even earlier we read where be angry and sin not. You ever been angry about something or angry at somebody? Sure, we all have. But that doesn't mean we have to say anything. If you want to say anything, the best person to say it to is the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's better to tell the Lord how you feel, who already knows how you feel, instead of making matters worse or dividing a relationship because, well, I've got to say this and they've got to hear me. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to hear you without the Lord opening their ears, changing their heart, and you speaking with grace, a Christ-like manner. Because what do you do when you throw gasoline on fire? It snuffs it out, right? It puts the fire out. No. I learned that as a young boy with my cousin, camping out behind his parents' property, and we had a fire going. Well, we started a fire. It's like, you know what? We need something to help this. And he threw gasoline on it, and when he did, man, that fire was coming back to him, and he dropped the can and ran. Well, what happens when, you know, fire and gasoline combine, right? It's the same in relationships. Your words and my words are like gasoline. They can be like gasoline or they can be grace, right? They can either be gracious words or they can be explosive words. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're not going to love and forgive like Christ without walking in the Spirit. Without walking in the Spirit, we cannot love and forgive like Christ. And someone may be thinking, well, I don't want to love them and I don't want to forgive them. You're hindering your relationship with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So it all hinges on our relationship with God. Do I want to keep hearing God's voice? Do I want to keep feeling his presence in my life, his peace, his comfort, his guiding in my life? Do I really want to destroy my relationship with God? And do I really want to destroy my relationship with somebody else in my life that I can really be a good testimony and a good help to? Again, it's about bearing much fruit, because if you are saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have received the gift of salvation, there's a ministry he wants to do through you and through me in the ministry of reconciliation. Bringing people to Christ. Showing people that, you know what? There is hope in the world through Jesus Christ. There is true peace. There is real love. There is forgiveness with Christ, and I'm a testimony of that. But again, what fruit am I bearing out in my life? What fruit are people seeing in my life? I could just even say this. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 19 through 21. Because as we allow the Holy Spirit to multiply his fruit in our life, it will help us to separate ourselves from sin's destruction. It will help us to separate ourselves from sin's destruction. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Well, Pastor, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not fornicating. You know, I'm not worshiping idols. I'm not in witchcraft. Well, after witchcraft, it says hatred. And the Bible says that if we have hatred towards any brother or sister in Christ, it's like murder. Well, it's just my spouse. It's the same, right? hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So he doesn't even give the complete list because you can't possibly give a complete list, right? But anything that obviously is fleshly, is worldly, and not Christ-like and not of the Holy Spirit's list, well, we want to abstain from all of that. We don't want to give in to that. We don't want to bear that fruit in our life, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So those that live in, if I can say, this lifestyle with this sinful nature and with this heart, this darkened heart, they'll never step a foot into heaven. Now we're saved. Again, if you're saved, nothing can keep you out of heaven. But why allow the fruit that keeps people out of heaven, why let that even be a part of your life now that you are a child of God? Now that you have the Holy Spirit in you, why hold on to grudges? Why hold on to bitterness? Why hold on to unforgiveness? Why allow that fruit to keep rotting in our lives, causing us to be unhealthy? It's not harming the other person. It always harms us when we harbor these sinful tendencies in our life and these sinful emotions and thoughts in our life. But the more that we allow the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit, the more that we yield to the fruit of the Spirit and we allow it to be manifest in our hearts and in our lives, it helps us to separate ourselves from sin's destruction. Because would you agree, at least for the majority of the people in here, would you agree that having anger towards someone, having hatred towards someone, saying nasty things to someone destroys a relationship? It destroys marriages. It destroys relationships between parents and children, between siblings, between family members, even among church people. And I'm not saying that there's, you know, any problem like that in the church, but we've got to be careful because we can act and pretend a certain way among people, but then when we're around the one that seems to irritate us or seems to not do things the way we want, we allow it to get under our skin, we allow it to agitate us, we allow it to harm us and the other person. So bearing much fruit is not about, well, you know, I just choose to bear all the rotten fruit. No, because right when we go to the grocery store and you're getting bananas and bags of apples and stuff, everybody I observe, they're taking the bananas and we'll leave bananas out because I know you need rotten bananas for good homemade banana bread. So leave that out, all right? But apples, I mean, other things, you're looking, is it rotten? Right, potatoes, when you get a bag of potato, you know if there's a rotten potato in there, it's going to affect the rest of it, right? So again, we don't want sin's destruction in our life because it destroys us and it destroys others that are around us. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members," speaking of your body, "that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." I think everybody here understands, man, this little thing right here can do a lot of damage. Can do a lot of damage. But also can do a lot of good. That's why speaking grace, that it edifies the hearer. Does the other person deserve to hear what you have to say? Well, we would reason and say, yeah. But if I say it, is it going to make matters worse or is it going to help matters? Is it going to help restore a relationship or is it going to tear a relationship even further apart that's already being strained? As a disciple of Christ, as a child of God, I don't want anything to hinder my relationship with the Lord, but everything I do in my life can, has the possibility of hindering my relationship with God, because God takes it serious. God takes it serious. It's not about, you know, keeping the Ten Commandments. It's about a life being changed by the power of Christ. It's about God being manifested in that person's life. You know what the Bible says about Jesus when he was walking upon this earth? That he was the express image of God. People saw God through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is God, but they saw the love of God through Jesus. They saw forgiveness through Jesus. They saw grace through Jesus. I mean, every attribute of God they saw through Jesus. Jesus manifested who God is to the people. When a woman caught in the very act of adultery was brought to Jesus and they wanted him to condemn her, though the law said that she should die because of her fornication, because of her adultery, and, you know, she was caught in the very act, yet Jesus tells her, after her accusers leave, because they're all guilty of their own sin, Jesus says, whichever is without sin, cast the first stone. Nobody's without sin. Therefore, they were all convicted. They left, and he says, where are thine accusers? There's none here. He goes, well, I'm not going to condemn you either. Go and sin no more. So, I mean, the grace, the forgiveness, the love, the compassion is what God wants people to experience and see in us as his people. The tongue is a nasty member. You can't tame it. You can keep it for a while. You can keep yourself. Honestly, if I'll even say this, it probably makes me guilty. Makes me guilty as well. But if we have to, honestly, if we are finding ourselves having to bite our tongue, and you know, I'm not saying literally biting your tongue, but figuratively, biting your tongue so you don't say something, that means something's in our heart. That means something's not right in our heart if it's the first thing that comes to my mind that, well, I've got to say this. No, I can't say it, right? If I'm struggling with what I want to say or do, then something's not right in our heart. Our heart has to be cleansed through the word. I've got to put on the new man that is created in righteousness and holiness, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, we're told, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. We're to follow righteousness, faith, charity. Charity is that love. It's not donating the things that you don't want, right? Oh, I can donate? Well, I'll donate my peace of mind that they need, right? No, it's not that. But it's that unconditional sacrificial love. You know what? They may not deserve it, but I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to give them what's right. I'm going to give them what's right. Righteousness. But we're to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Listen, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Who are you surrounded by? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You and I are not going to choose to do what's right. We're not going to do what's right if the people in our circle are lost, God-denying, Christ-cursing people. Well, my friends don't curse. Are they saved? We are to interact. We are to be a witness, but they should not be your closest, dearest friends, because you're going to, and I will be, affected evilly. They're not going to counsel you to walk in the spirit. They're going to counsel you to walk in the flesh. They're not going to counsel you to show grace. They're going to counsel you to show wrath. We have to, according to Scripture, submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So he's given us of the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in the right path, to help us to be Christ-like. Again, when you read the Gospels and you read Jesus, he wasn't treated very well by everybody. Some people were just using him to be fed, to get a miracle, to get, you know, some healing. But there were those that were genuinely there to be with him. They believed he was Christ. They believed he was the Son of the living God. They believed that he was there to really spiritually help people. They believed in him. You're always going to have those that are just misusing you. But then you have those that really genuinely care for you, that are part of the family, that we have to learn how to have unity, learn how to have grace and forgiveness, and to really work alongside each other so that sin doesn't destroy family. Sin doesn't destroy relationships. Sin doesn't keep God from hearing us. Again, if a husband has bitterness in his heart towards his spouse, towards his wife, the Bible says God will not hear his prayers. And for anybody, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So whatever's in my heart, if it's bad, God's not going to hear me. I can call up to God till I'm blue in the face. I can even deceive myself and say, well, God's hearing me because I'm a child of his. But if I have bitterness, unforgiveness in my heart towards somebody, he's not listening. Because it's pride. The root of it is pride. I'm right, they're wrong. No, it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. Somebody has to be Christian enough to say, you know what? I'm wrong for letting this continue. I'm stopping it right now. We need to reconcile our relationship. We need to reconcile whatever it is. We need to let Christ be glorified. The devil hates that. The devil hates unity in a marriage, family, in a church, because unity, it exhorts Christ. Christ came to reconcile. Christ came to bring deliverance into a person's life, to bring peace, love, and joy. The Bible says in Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we have to crucify the lust of the flesh. What I think really doesn't matter. What does God want? How I feel doesn't really matter. What does God want? "Casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you." Again, sin destroys, and we see that. We can see the physical destruction in people's lives that are given over to sinful nature. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever, we can see the physical effect, but there's a spiritual effect as well for the believer, for the Christian, when we allow sin to remain. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, I'll end with this, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The best fertilizer, if I can say that, because it's gardening season and I'm excited. I got seedlings that have come up and I'm ready to get them in the ground, but there's that sin of frost that someone says is this bad frost is coming. I lost everything last year. I planted too early. We had this heavy frost come and it destroyed everything. I mean, it's like sin. You're wanting to plant some good fruit. You want to be able to harvest, you know, a bounty, but then something comes. You're not prepared for it. You don't prepare for it, and it just destroys the fruit. All right? So again, when you think about this, let the word of God dwell richly in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. All these things, and we do it, the best fertilizer, like I said, for our heart is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's singing His praises. with a heart that's thankful, a heart that is clean from bitterness, unforgiveness, wrath, right? Because we want to produce the fruit that glorifies God and really testifies that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is at work in our life and we are yielding ourselves to Him because, as Colossians 3 verse 4 starts out, when Christ, who is our life, is Jesus Christ your life? Is He a part of your life? Is He your entire life? When somebody is your entire life, you give all attention to them. You give every bit of yourself to them when they are your life. Some people are like this with animals. I'm sorry if you're one, but I don't think dogs need a sweater, a raincoat, little boots. And there are people that give their entire life to dressing up their animals. And that's between them. I mean, that's what they want to do. But you can tell that they're really given over to this, all right? I was not happy when I went to Aldi's the other day, and I went to the ice cream section. I want ice cream. There's ice cream. But right in the middle of the ice cream are the little doggy ice cream treats. What if I would have grabbed that box and went home? I would have fed it to the chickens, but I would not have been happy. But what I'm saying is people give themselves to what's in their heart, whatever it is. For us as Christians, as again, believers, disciples of Christ, it's Christ that should have our heart. It is Christ that we should want to glorify and exalt in our life. In our speech, in our interactions with other people, we want to bear much fruit that, you know what, causes people to desire the fruit that you have. Hey, how can I have that fruit bear out in my life? How can I have that peace? How can I have that love and that joy? I mean, how can I have that temperance? It seems like nothing ruffles your feathers. It seems like nothing gets under your skin and agitates you. And you tell, well, because I'm planted in Christ, abiding in Christ, and Christ abiding in me. Just remember, and I've got to remember this too, whatever we do, good or bad, affects those around us. And we want to affect them for good. We want Christ to be glorified. We want to live the abundant life that Jesus said He came to give. Go ahead and stand. We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You this morning for Your goodness. We thank You, Father, for just Your grace in our life. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who is in our life. Father, we ask that You would help us to be yielded to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would help us, Lord. Help us to allow You to manifest that fruit, to cultivate that fruit, to purge away what needs to be purged away, and help us, Lord, to bear much fruit in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, because He redeemed us. He bought us back with His precious blood. He's given us eternal life. So, Lord, help us to just bear the fruit that testifies of a life that's been changed, a life that's been forgiven, a life that has grace because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the piano begins to play, I'll give you a few moments alone in prayer.